Amen. Psalm 81 this evening. And if you have your Bible with you, we've been in Psalm 81 for a number of weeks now. And if you haven't been here for those lessons, I'll try to quickly give you an overview as we finish up the psalm this evening. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 16. We mentioned that this psalm is a psalm that's associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, and we studied in the first week what that was all about and how the children of Israel would use this psalm during that era or that time during the year. And we talked about how we're to sing, make mention in verse number one, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. And our God wants to hear us sing, amen? And I hope you got a song in your heart. I'm so thankful for the great hymns of the faith, and we praise the Lord for that. You go through and you find how God is giving to them instruction with regard to reminding them of all that He's done for them in delivering them from Egyptian bondage. And then we got down to verse number 7. Notice it says, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. As we looked at verse 7, rejoicing the fact that we can call upon our God in the time of trouble, and we can have that confidence that He hears us and that He's able to deliver us and He's able to answer, and what a blessing. And then we talked about the proving, and there are times in your life and in my life that God will lead us directly into a circumstance, a situation, to prove to us, to test us and to prove His ability and His power. And then we find that we entered into these last portion, really, of this chapter, verses 8 through 16, and we've had a three-part lesson, really, on these verses, because we find in verse number 8 that the Bible says, Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. And then notice this, If thou wilt hearken unto me. In that first lesson, in verses 8 down through verse number 10, we talked about the desire that God had to instruct His people, and the desire that He had that they would hearken unto Him, that they would obey Him, that they would keep the truth that He's giving to them. We find that God has provided us with good instruction, and I'm so thankful that we have a Bible, and the question that is asked of Israel is asked of us as well. And remember, He made this promise in verse number 10, He told them, Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I mean, what a great declaration, what a great promise that God gives to them in verse number 10. But then as we studied last Wednesday evening, as we looked at verses 11 and 12, we find that the Bible says, But my people would not hearken to my voice. Isn't that a sad statement? He didn't say that the world, He didn't say that the other people groups of the world, He didn't say the other nations, He didn't say lost people, He said, My people would not hearken to my voice. And the Bible says that Israel would none of me. It really carries with the idea that they wanted nothing to do with God. And so what did God do? Well, God doesn't force Himself upon us. He doesn't make us follow Him and do what He's commanded us to do. And so it tells us that He gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. This week, as we wrap up this chapter, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 16. And as we begin to look at these portions or these verses to finish out this text, it reveals to us the consequence, if you will, of their disobedience. Because the Bible says that they hearken not, and yet we find that in verse number 13, the Bible says, Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. As we look at these verses of Scripture, I've really titled the lesson for this evening in verses 13 through 16, What if they hearkened? What if they hearkened? See, the Bible says in verse number 8, If thou wilt hearken unto me, we find in verse number 11, But my people would not hearken to my voice. And we find in verse number 13, Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Let me ask you this question this evening by way of introduction. Do you like it when people listen to you? Sure you do. Let me ask it this way. When you pray, do you expect, do you desire that God hears you when you pray? Right? You want God to hearken unto your voice, don't you? You, when you pray, when you enter into His presence, you're desiring that He's going to hear you. And we find here that God is, in verse number 13, really reveals to us, to His people, His heart for them. He says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. God gave the truth, and God desires that we would obey the truth, that we would hearken to His voice. We find that the blessing would be the result of obedience. And He said, and Israel had walked in my ways. No, they didn't walk in God's ways. It says in verse number 12 that they walked in their own counsels. It wasn't that they didn't have the truth. It wasn't that they didn't have the instruction. It was that they rejected it and went their own way. They said, no, we don't want that. We have a better way. We have the way that we want to go. And I said this last week, and it's worth being reminded of this evening. The danger is that we as New Testament believers in 2025 can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. We can go to God's Word and we can hear God's Word being preached or taught. We can read it in our devotions and we can see that God is giving to us instruction. And we can determine, well, that's for that group. We begin to excuse and to explain away. And the reality is that God gave us good instruction. He just wants us to obey Him. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Can you see the heart of God there in verse number 13? And God gave good instruction, and He knew what the consequences would be, both of obedience and of disobedience. In fact, as you study in the Pentateuch, you find the book of Leviticus, and then you find again in the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy makes it in a real simple statement. I set before you today a blessing and a curse. And the blessing would be the result of obedience, the curse the result of disobedience. We find in the book of Leviticus, there's a lengthy portion of Scripture that if you obey my voice, here's all the things that I'm going to do. And if you disobey my voice, here's all the things that are going to happen. God made it plain and clear. And as we come to this text of Scripture and we really begin to understand what God is saying here, we find that God says in verse number 14, I should soon have, and He's going to explain what He would have done. I said that the title this evening is What If They Hearkened. As we close out this psalm, really what happens is God begins to reveal to us in this passage of Scripture, to them here in Psalm 81 at the time as they would read this and they would be familiar with this, that these are the things that we forfeited because of our disobedience. And sometimes we really don't think about it that way. We don't really think about, what am I forfeiting in order to do what I want to do? To go and to walk after mine own counsels, to do what I... By the way, it's my life. I can... And we start hearing these types of things. And the reality is that we forfeit some things. And God is going to give a little glimpse here in verses 14, 15, and 16. Notice again, I should soon have what God would have done if they simply would have hearkened to His voice. Now, here's the important thing that we must understand this evening. This is God speaking. This is not an exaggeration. This is not an embellishment. This is not a situation where you say to your kids, well, if you would have obeyed me, I would have taken you, blah, 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 I would have, blah, blah, blah. No. This is God speaking. And by the way, God cannot lie. Amen? So when God is revealing to His people and to us by way of preservation what He soon would have done for them, this is exactly what God was going to do. And by the way, it was what God could do. Because God has all power, and God can. And so as we look here and we begin to see, really, as we break it into four thoughts this evening as to what did the people forfeit in order to go their own way. See, sometimes we don't think about maybe in our lives what we forfeit when we go our own way. When we decide that we're going to do life our way, we're going to disregard what God has said, we're going to do what we want to do, and we say, well, life seems to be okay, I didn't die, I didn't get struck by a lightning bolt, I didn't have whatever, and the reality is that God is long-suffering towards us, He's gracious towards us, but what are we missing out on? Notice, first of all, He says this in verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies. I want you to think about the nation of Israel, and I want you to think about the regular occurrence as you study the Old Testament of them and their enemies. They had many. They constantly, throughout their history, are dealing with opposition and adversity and all the enemies, and we find that God says, I should soon have subdued their enemies. Hold your place here and turn to Proverbs 16, if you will. And I want you to see what God says here in Proverbs 16 with regard to this thought of what God was able to do. And God is able to do that. God is able to subdue the enemies. By the way, as you study the book of Joshua and other portions in the history of Israel, the Kings and the Chronicles, you find God working miraculously to subdue the enemies of the people of God. We find in Proverbs 16 and verse number 7, notice it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what God is able to do. That's how God is able to work. And the reality is that as we look at Psalm 81 and we understand what we've studied over the past couple of weeks and understanding the decision of the children of Israel, their ways were not pleasing to God. You find, as we mentioned last week, as we looked at really referencing the cycle of the period of the judges and where there was these groups of people that would oppose them and they would oppress them and they would be in bondage and all that would take place, and it was because of idolatry and wickedness and disobedience, and God was not pleased with their ways. But here we find that God says, I should soon have subdued their enemies. By the way, the people of God, the children of Israel, were regularly seeking God when they were defeated and they were down and out. They would, maybe God will help us. I think about Jeremiah, when Jeremiah is preaching on the eve of the Babylonian captivity, and we begin, and obviously that would be way after this psalm being written, but I want you to think about what happens in the Jeremiah's prophesying. He's telling them what's going to happen. God's made it clear, and they still come to Jeremiah and they want to know, is God going to fight for us? You know what God says? I'm going to fight against you. You say, whoa, what's... Judgment was going to come upon them because of their disobedience. They were going to face a 70-year captivity. If you study it out and you understand why, it's because they weren't keeping the Sabbath year as they were supposed to, and so they would be in captivity for 70 years. And by the way, when Daniel is reading Jeremiah, and it reveals to him the fact that their 70 years are accomplished, and God gives him the vision, and you see how all these things come together and how beautiful it is, and they're in that 70-year captivity. And what I'm saying about that is that God is, the judgment was going to come. Why? Because of their disobedience. But God said, I should soon have subdued their enemies. Notice, He says, and turned my hand against their adversaries. It's really the first and second thought here in verse number 14 are definitely complementary, and we see the similarities here between these two statements. But I want to remind you of what Deuteronomy 30 says, and this would be something that was being spoken to the children of Israel just before they would enter into the land. Obviously, God is using Moses here to give them the charge before they would enter into the land to prepare them for all that would take place. And we come to Deuteronomy chapter number 30, and it's getting right to the end here of all that's going on. And we see in verse number 7, it says, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And so that's a truth that God's giving to them. And as you look at the passage, and we read this lengthy passage last week on Wednesday evening, but we find that he tells them about the fact that God's word was made available to them. It was not far from them. But then he tells them in verse number 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. What was the choice? How would they choose life? It would be by choosing to go God's way, by choosing to obey, to hearken to the voice of God. And that's why God says in Psalm 81, if thou wilt hearken unto me, he says, there shall no strange gods be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. He tells them, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But no, the people didn't want to hear it. The people didn't want to hearken. They wanted to go their own way. And God gave them up, according to verse number 12, and allowed them to walk in their own counsels, but what they forfeited, what they missed out on God doing what God had promised to do. Can I tell you, there are times that we miss out on seeing God work? Think about this with me. Jesus did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. What about the truth in Psalm 78 when the Bible says that they limited the Holy One of Israel? How do they limit God, the one that can do all things? What was it on the part of the people that limited God? It was their unbelief. And we find that as you study the history of Israel, as you study the early church, and you study the scriptures, as you study your own life and examine your own life, I wonder how often do we miss out on seeing what God can do simply because we don't follow His path. We lean on our own understanding and we miss out on seeing what God is able to do because God is able. And God provided them with this portion of Scripture as we close this psalm by telling them, here's what I would have done for you. You know, it just makes me sad reading the portion of Scripture because I don't want to miss out on what God could do in my life, and you're seeing what God can do in your life, in our lives, in our ministry, because we didn't live by faith. We didn't trust Him and obey Him. We didn't follow His word. We chose that we were going to do it our own way. Well, we are approaching 2026 and we got to just throw this out and go this new way. No, no, no. Hold on. What are we going to miss out on? I want to see God work. So the psalmist says in Psalm 119, it is time for thee to work. Notice in verse 15, as we see here, really a verse that deals with God's favor and blessing upon His people. He says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him. And we see verse 14 about the dealing with the enemies and the adversaries, but their time should have endured forever. And we think about God's truth that He provided there in verse number 10, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. We see really the idea of that both in verse 15 and also in verse number 16. You don't need to turn back there, but I read for you just a moment ago in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. It says, therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. He says here in verse 15, but their time, the end of the verse, should have endured forever. Listen, we've often said this. It was not God's plan for Him to take His people out of Egypt to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. God's plan was to take His people out of Egypt and take them into the land of promise, right? But they didn't go directly from Egypt into the land of promise. Why? Because of their unbelief. I mean, isn't it interesting how everything goes back to unbelief? By the way, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen? And so we see this thing of faith and unbelief. And if you read Numbers 14 and you read about what happens there in their unbelief, they did not believe that God was able to lead them into the... Joshua and Caleb tried to still the people and persuade the people, but they did not want to hear it. And what happened? Well, there's 40 years of wilderness wanderings. But can I also submit to you this evening that God, I don't believe God brought His people to the land that He promised them. Starting all the way back with Abraham, He promised it. It's repeated promise. He did not promise and then bring them into a land so that He could take them out of the land. Amen. He brought them to the land to be their land, to be their place. It was their promised land. And we find that as you begin to look at their history, why is it that the northern kingdom is taken captive by the Assyrians way before the southern kingdom is taken captive by the Babylonians? But you find what's happening is because of, again, if you read through the portions of Scripture, you know what you find? Because of your disobedience. Because of your disobedience, because you would not obey, because you did not hearken. In fact, if you want to do a study, I actually jotted down all kinds of notes and verses to go to. We just don't have time on a Wednesday evening to look at all of them. But if you go and just look up in a concordance the word hearkened, and you look up a combination of hearkened not, you'll see repeatedly where it's said about the people of God that they hearkened not to the voice of God. They didn't believe. They didn't obey. And so what happened? Well, there's judgment. And God says to his people that there you could have possessed this land, but because of your disobedience, judgment came. By the way, if you read the book of Leviticus, God tells them, if you disobey, I'm going to spew you out of the land. Guess what? They disobeyed. And so guess what? They were spewed out of the land. And we find that God, again, when you begin to see what's happening here in verses 13 through 16, how God is revealing, again, it's not an embellishment, it's not an exaggeration. This is God speaking, and he's saying, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have. Here's what God said he would do. Notice in verse 16. We see in verse 16 God's abundant provision for his people. Notice he should have fed them also, notice what the Bible says, with the finest of the wheat. Now, he could have just said he would have fed them. He could have just said he would have fed them with wheat. But he wants us to know, listen, God, every good gift and every perfect gift, we see that in James 1. You think about when he says, hey, you earthly fathers, you know how to give good gifts, but how much more your heavenly Father? Amen? And he says, listen, God's best, the finest of the wheat. It wasn't that he just says that he would feed them or that he would have fed them with wheat, but he said he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. The people of God complained about manna. Did they not? But you know, it was miraculous that God gave them manna. It's amazing how God could sustain them. You ever wonder, I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but you ever wonder, like, what was the nutritional value of manna? Had to be pretty awesome. Amen? I mean, people running around talking about, I need this much protein and I need this much whatever, and I just give me some manna, man, and it takes care of all of it. Praise God. And every morning, they didn't have to work for it. I mean, they just had to go out and gather it. That's not really a whole lot of work. It's a lot easier than hunting. Amen? I've never been hunting. You know why? Because people talk about all these stories about sitting in a tree stand for 6 hours in 15-degree weather, and I didn't see anything. And I'm like, yep, I went to Costco, and I walked in, and I got my meat, and I walked out. Praise God. It was awesome. All the hunters said, I can't believe he just said that. I'm just telling you, it works well. I had to hunt. Actually, I went to Costco the other day to get some meat for the open house, and I had to hunt, Brother Mark, for about 2.5 minutes because the pork was in a different section than it used to be. But it was a fast hunt. I got it, amen? And the reality is that God provided. He said he would give them the finest of the wheat. Notice, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. I made this statement as we looked at verse number 10, when the Bible said at the end of the verse, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I said that he satisfies. And the reality is that he concludes the whole psalm by saying, I have satisfied thee. He says, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And I begin to think about God's best, and in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I know we keep going back to Deuteronomy, but there's so many references that are just paralleled here. And I want you to look in verse 7, and this is really the song of Moses as we near the end of the life of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy and going into the account of Joshua leading the people into the land. But we come to the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, and look in verse number 7. The Bible says this, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her own wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock." Verse 14, "butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." How interesting to read this portion of the Song of Moses and understand some historical aspect of what he's saying, but also some prophetical aspect of what he's saying. And yet the children of Israel seemingly didn't really learn. You know, it's interesting, Judah didn't really learn from Israel, did they? Judah, watching what happened to Israel and all that took place, they soon followed in the very same footsteps. Though they had many that would come and prophesy against them, and God being faithful to say return, they wanted none of God. Turn to the book of Hebrews, if you will. I want to make an application for us as we close this evening. And I want you to look in the book of Hebrews. And I want you to consider a few portions quickly in the book of Hebrews this evening. See, God has given to us instruction, just as he said to his people in Psalm 81 that he would instruct them, and he did. And God's given us a whole Bible. And how thankful I am to have a whole Bible this evening. And we find that God has preserved his word providentially. We can have confidence in the Bible that we hold in our lap, and we can know what God has said to us and what his instruction is for us. And God desires that we'd obey him, and we too deal with the blessing and the judgment. And we notice in Hebrews 1, notice in verse number 1, God, what a great way to start a book, by the way. I mean, there's no introduction of let me give you who I am and what this or who I'm writing to. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Isn't that a wonderful introduction to the book? God has spoken, he says in verse number 1, in various manners through the prophets, but he mentions in verse number 2 about speaking in these last days by his Son. And we find that as we forward into chapter 2, we're going to look at a few passages quickly. Notice in chapter 2 in verse number 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have," what does it say? "Heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." So he speaks in chapter 1 about the way that God spoke to us, and he talks about who Jesus is and how much better he is, and he's superior. He goes through the entire book talking about Christ is better than, and you fill in the blank, he's superior to everything, and the Old Testament is a shadow of good things to come. But he says in verse number 1 of chapter 2, "Therefore we ought to give the more," notice he says, "the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Who are those? Well, those are the apostles. You read the book of 1 John. John talks about we're witnesses of these things and we're now telling you these things. And we find that that's how God was working. And so God worked through miracles. If you look at verse number 4, you see that and how he confirmed the word, which is really a fulfillment of what he says at the end of the Gospels and how he would confirm the word with many signs, and he did just that. But then we come to chapter number 12 of the book of Hebrews, and there's so much in between chapters 1 and 2 and 12, but this isn't a study in the book of Hebrews. And so look at chapter 12 just quickly as we kind of make application. We see what happened with the nation of Israel. We read Psalm 81. We see how God gave them instruction and God wanted them to hearken, and God told them, open your mouth and I'll fill it. I mean, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. And God wanted them to hearken, but they would not. And so God gave them up. God let them go their own way. And then God says, here's what you missed out on. Here's what I would have done if you would have just hearkened to my voice. And the problem, the danger is, as much as we can study history in Psalm 81 and we can look at all these examples of the nation of Israel, the problem is sometimes it's true in our own lives that God's given us the instruction, but we hearken not and we miss out on what God has for us, the good things that God would do for us. Notice in verse 25 of Hebrews 12, the Bible says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now let me ask you, when it says here, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Oftentimes what happens is when we don't obey what God has said, when we're not being obedient to the instruction, we're not hearkening, we don't really want to call it disobedience. We don't want to call it that we're refusing him. We want to try to use some terms that are going to make us feel less sinful, really, just to make it real plain. And yet we find here that he says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. This evening, I believe that all the instruction that God has given to us as his people is good instruction. Amen? It's good instruction. The Old Testament is profitable for us, where it's given to us for our admonition, for our learning. There are principles that we can take and we must apply them. We find that the Bible teaches us prove what is acceptable in the sight of the Lord, and we're to prove, we're to go through his word, and we're to take and apply truth in our lives. And the danger, the concern, I guess is the word I should use, the concern for me this evening as I look at my own life after studying through Psalm 81 and the concern that I would have as we finish this psalm is I don't want to miss out on what God could do because of not hearkening to his voice, because I think there's a better way, because I think that my way is, or because I just disregard. I'm just going through life and just kind of having this attitude of like, well, I know God gave me a Bible, but like, I don't really go to it to find out what he wants for me. I don't really seek him. I have degrees and I have this and I have all this life experience, and I'm just, sometimes we can fall into those traps. And you know what you find? God's way, as he says to the people, as Isaiah is prophesying, God's way is not our way. God's way is not our way. But God's way is the right way. And as we get ourselves into the Bible and we think and act biblically, and we say, I want to hearken to the voice of God. I want to obey. Why? Because I don't want to miss out on seeing what God can do. Because God says, oh, that they would have hearkened to my voice. And if they did, here's what I would have done. It's not an embellishment. It's not an exaggeration. It's not a parent trying to convince a child down the road to be obedient because you'll get some kind of whatever. No, this is God Almighty, the one who is perfect and sinless, the one that cannot lie, He says, here's what I would have done if you just obeyed, just hearkened to my voice. I hope that after a study through the book of, or through the Psalm, Psalm 81, I hope that after studying that Psalm, each one of us would leave with a determination, I'm going to hearken to the voice of God. I don't want God to just give me up to do my own thing. No, I want to consult the Word of God. I want to know what His instruction is and apply it in my life. Why? Because I want God's blessing and I want God's favor, and that comes through obedience. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for loving us. We thank You.